This song's called Rough Boys, and this was chosen as a single from the album, probably because it's the most sort of obviously up-tempo, noisy sort of track. And this is the only song on the album which my wife doesn't understand, doesn't know quite what it's about. But it's really quite an innocuous song, despite all the parading that goes on and the vocal gymnastics and pyrotechnics. It's just a song about my neighbourhood, the neighbourhood I was brought up in, and the kids that live there, the way they are today, and the way I feel driving through or walking through, the memories that I have and the feelings that I have about being young again. Going back and growing up in the neighbourhood I was brought up in all over again. It's called Rough Boys. This song is probably the closest to a ballad on the whole album. It's a song called Animal, and it's one of the favourite songs that I've written for a long time. It's, I think, probably my favourite song on my album. And it's, although it's a ballad, the subject material isn't really your normal sort of moon in June stuff. It's actually a song about the evolution of the individual in a spiritual way, and about all the different roles that we go through in one lifetime. Sometimes feeling like we're big shots, and sometimes feeling like we're not worth anything, and other times feeling like we're pretty normal. Sometimes feeling sort of very macho, and other times feeling very feminine and sensitive. Just about all the different facets that we go through, and I think I've done most of the ones what I mentioned on the song, and so I hope there's a few more left. It's called Animal. On one of the songs that I recorded for the solo album, I tried out a piano technique which was taught to me by a friend of mine called James Asher. And I produced a record with him once called Peppermint Lump, with a kid called Angie singing. And it's a technique where you use a delay, an echo, on the piano, and you play one finger piano, and you go dung 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 dung. And the echo comes out afterwards going diddly 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 diddly, and it makes you sound a bit like a sort of a high-speed Semprini. And I use that technique on this track, which is called And I Moved. Schoolboy poetry, folks. Dot, 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 dot. And I Moved. And the lyric of this song is actually quite controversial, because a lot of people are quite confused about what it's about. But it's a song I actually wrote for Bette Midler, and she said it was a bit too dirty for her, which I'll leave you to work out what it's about. It's called And I Moved. At my house, like where I live, I've got a studio, a proper 24-track setup. It's not a heavy recording studio situation, but I can work on proper recording tapes, like the big stuff that they use in studios. And I actually recorded this track almost entirely at home. It's called Let My Love Open the Door. It's a very simple love song. And I kept the kids and the wife and the guests that were staying with us awake till 5 o'clock in the morning recording it. Once I was, I take the Guardian, and once I was reading through the Jill Toynbee, whatever it is, morning nonsense of another plea for women's emancipation, and I noticed an article about two rock writers that write for the NME, called Julie Burchill and Tony Parsons, and it was actually an interview with them. And in the interview, I think it was Tony said that he didn't really care much about the fact that Keith Moon was dead because it was sort of good riddance to bad rubbish kind of attitude. And I wasn't really incensed as such, apart from the fact that they had compared Keith to Sid Vicious, which I thought was a bit sort of peculiar. And I felt the only way that I could actually get out the anger that I felt was through writing a song, and this is the song that I wrote as a result of reading this interview, and it's called Jules and Jim. Anyone can have an opinion, anyone can join in and jump, anyone can pay or just stay away, anyone can crash and thump, but did you read the stuff? There are two songs that I wrote for The Who, which I included on my solo album. They're not so much Who rejects, but they were songs which I wrote for the Who Are You album, which we recorded, but which, because albums have only got a limited amount of space, didn't actually get on. One is called Keep On Working, and that's the song we're going to play now. It's just a song about living in England, really. I was digging in the yard today when a letter came from Southampton Way. Keep on working, keep on working. I must admit I was a bit in the red. But if you never have the pleasure, then you could be dead. Keep on working, keep on working, keep on working. I did a concert at the Roundhouse, a solo concert. It's one of the few solo appearances that I've ever done before the paying general public. I often sit around and play the guitar for friends and things like that, but I did a concert at the Rainbow for the Rock Against Racism cause after the riots and subsequent troubles that happened in Southall here in England last year. And I wrote a song specially for the occasion called Cats in the Cupboard. And in fact, I used two of the musicians at that concert that I used on the album. One is the bass player, Tony Butler, who plays with my younger brother's band. They're called On The Air. And I used him on, I think, playing the bass on every track on this album, in fact. I used a couple of different drummers. Kenny Jones played on Rough Boys, and Simon Phillips played on most of the rest of the stuff. But Tony played bass on all this stuff, and he was actually at this concert, and it's just like a really an out-and-out blues stomper. It's called Cats in the Cupboard, and it's got Peter Hope Evans playing harmonica. of all the songs that I've written lately, I think that this is probably the one which you could say was truly inspired. I don't normally sort of wake up in the middle of the night screaming "Eureka" or "Blazing Saddles." I just sort of scribble, and it tends to come out. But this one came about. It's a song called "Little Is Enough," and I had a thought one day that really we're all at the end of a great long queue to get to whatever it is that we're going to get to, and everybody wants more of whatever it is that they're after than they've already got. If you're rich, people are rich, they want more. If people are poor, they obviously want more. And everybody's in a sort of a pecking order. But I just thought about the quality of love, and how really to be in love once, or to feel love once, is enough, because once you've experienced it, it lives with you and it stays with you and it becomes part of you. And it doesn't matter how small an amount you get, because it's a kind of an infinite quality, something about it that's so sort of powerful and infinite. Once you've tasted it, it's with you for life, as it were. And it inspired this song, this particular thought, inspired this song called "A Little Is Enough." One other song that I wrote, probably 1977, 78, which was recorded actually by The Who and never released, is a song called "Empty Glass," which is the title track of my solo album. And I got the idea from reading, how do you say it, Ecclesiastes, that part of the Bible, King Solomon sitting there and talking about how he's seen everything. You know, I've seen everything, I've done everything. I've done a lot, mate, you know. And it's all boring. And I was so staggered to actually find this sort of degree of apparent negativity in the Bible. But I read it again and again and again and again, and I realised that the message, of course, is not it's not a negative message at all, but probably one of the most powerful and exciting parts of the Bible. I know a lot of other people that are sort of artists and people like that always get excited when they read Ecclesiastes, and it brought forth this song. It's called "Empty Glass."
Why was I born today? Life is useless like Ecclesiastes. I never had a chance. Opportunities now in my hands. I stand with my guitar.
My solo album closes with a track called "Gonna Get You," which is music for walking in the park to, or driving your car to, music to crash cars by. It's not actually about anything at all. It's just a word game, and it's just an out-and-out rock track. What I love about it is Rabbit, the keyboard player's beautiful, beautiful piece of piano in the middle, which is, we did this in one take, this song, and we just did one pass at it, and Rabbit produces a real kind of Keith Jarrett almost piano break in the middle, which I just absolutely adore, and I don't think I'll ever tire of this track because of that, because I love Keith Jarrett's work, and I don't think Rabbit will ever get the chance to have as much freedom on Who material as he has on this track. And I think it's wonderful. It's called "Gonna Get You."